Lifehouse playing here on The Fuse 94 and more on Nadia Favre. But nobody cares about us right now because we have the author Nana Dakwa Sechiama in studio right now. She is the author of The Sex Lives of African Women. I have carried this everywhere. I'm not kidding. It's like one of those security blankets, but it's a book and it feels so good. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
So we are as soon as you walked in, the first thing I said to you is that we're a very progressive, feminist, forward-thinking show, and we just generally love to talk about coitus. It's a real thing. So what would start here? What inspired you to create the book? And because I'm sure there was a lot of backlash at some point. And what were you thinking when you're like, hey, this is what I need to talk about?
There's actually been no backlash, right?
Really?
Yes.
Love to hear it.
I think people really appreciate the fact that I'm contributing to expanding the space for women to talk openly about sex, sexuality, and pleasure.
Yeah.
And I've been doing this work since 2009, when my friend and I started a blog called Adventures from the Bedrooms of African Women.
Oof, love it.
Yes. So we would blog about our own personal sexual experiences,
but
also encourage other women to share their stories on the blog. And over the years, I realized that, oh my gosh, we have like so many interesting, fascinating stories. Mm-hmm. But then in the outside world, when it comes to sex, African women are portrayed as conservative, limited, passive, or maybe we've been mutilated and we can't experience pleasure, or we are constantly pregnant, or we're suffering from HIV and AIDS.
Yeah.
And all of that may be aspects of the truth, but I knew it wasn't the full truth.
Agreed.
Exactly. So I decided I will interview as many African women as possible and put all our stories in a book so that the world knows like how varied our experiences are and how more complicated and interesting our full stories are. So that was what inspired me to write the book.
I love that. We talk about inclusivity so often here, and it was not until maybe the 2010s or whatnot that we looked at characters and saw ourselves. So I think this is super important. Also growing up here in Kenya, I grew up in Mombasa, which is even more conservative, and I'm, considered an Asian woman. And you are not allowed to seek pleasure. And so seeing something like this is a life changer. So I'm imagining if I was a teenager and read this, how my life, the trajectory of my life would have been so different. And really think what you're doing here is so important. And if you guys have questions, please let us know. 0701-984-984. Tweet us The Fuse 984. I know Anne is itching and you got a bunch of questions. So we're going to jump into that in just a little bit. But something you can look forward to, Simple Minds. We've got Florence and the Machine. And of course, we love the cheesy pop. So Backstreet Boys is coming up soon.
It is The Fuse 94, myself, Anwar, and Nadia Favre, and we have a fantastic guest in studio as well. It's all about the sex lives of African women, and Nana, this book is dazzling, it's exciting, it's resilient, accepting, of course, and that's exactly kind of how The Fuse goes as well. Now, of course, it is a sensitive and honest collection of interviews exploring freedom of sexuality. About 32 women were interviewed. For those who are conservative, though, and for men, what would you want them to take away from your book?
I mean, I feel like this book has a lot of insights for even people who are conservative. I think having a great sex life doesn't necessarily mean you have to have sex all of the time. It's really about knowing yourself, knowing what feels good to you. I think it's also about living with your values. So if you're a conservative person, why not? You know, that should also influence how I think your sex life plays out. And I feel like anybody, no matter their background, will get insights for this book. I think for men, what they will get is to hear stories from women they may not have previously heard. In a sense, they get to know some of the secrets women hold deeply within us. And I think they could learn how to be better lovers by reading my book.
I love that. From country to country, what has been the reciprocation? Like, what have you noticed in Kenya compared to like Ghana? What's been the conversation around different countries?
I think for me, what has really been interesting is people saying to me that this book is making them realize that, oh my gosh, there's so much I'm missing out on, right? And people are like, I need to start my own journey of self-discovery. I need to explore more. Some people are saying it's making them question their sexuality, which I think is a good thing, because I think a lot of us grew up in a world of compulsory heterosexuality. And I think sexuality is on a spectrum. And I think it's important for people to be able to figure out what their sexuality is and realize that their sexuality does not have to be fixed and immutable. And, you know, like water, our sexuality can flow and change.
I love that. It is The Fuse 94. It's all about being open and living in your truth. So send us your questions on 0701-984-984 or The Fuse 94 on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. It is The Fuse 94, myself, Anne Mora, and Nadia Favre, and we're joined with Nana as well. Of course, a feminist, a writer, a blogger, and we have some questions, by the way, from The Fuse fanatics and fans, especially from John. Let me make sure I got that right. Yes, John wants to know, what are some of the challenges that you faced as a published author?
I mean, I feel like my current challenge is making space and time to write, because the goal as a writer is always to get published. But once you get published, obviously you need to be out in the world talking about your book. So it can be hard to just find the space to write. And I think that's the most important thing as a writer, to dedicate space to reading and writing.
How do you beat writer's block? Or, you know, because especially during COVID, a lot of people, especially creatives, were saying that they were struggling to stay creative. So how do you beat writer's block?
I think maybe I'm very lucky. I don't suffer from writer's block. Whenever I sit down to write, the words come. Sometimes I may not be in the mood to write what I need to write, but I'll always be able to write. And I think the thing is, if you're struggling to write, find something else to write about. Maybe you're struggling to write a particular article or the book you're working on. Think of something that you find inspirational to write about. You can even just write about, you know, what you dreamt about or the night before. I think just let the words come and that will unlock the creativity within you.
I agree with that, because, like, for instance, sometimes I don't feel like entertaining or talking or whatever it is. So for the podcast, I just turn on the microphone and I let myself feel uncomfortable with the silence and I try to fill it with whatever. And eventually I get to a point where I'm just giddy and silly and things just spill out.
I'm so happy you mentioned that, because I was going to ask you the same thing, because you guys have quite a similar theme. Is it because of writing about sex that you never have something to not talk about?
Yeah.
People be doing it.
When have you ever sat down with a group of your girlfriends and then nobody had something to say about sex?
Exactly.
Impossible.
Yeah. Agree.
There we go.
But
we've been waiting for this for quite a while, and I wanted you to pick something from your book that means something to you and just bless us with your beautiful voice and words.
Oh, thank you so much. So I'm going to read a short extract from Solange's story, just to give some background. Solange is a 46-year-old queer trans woman. And she originally comes from Rwanda, lives currently in Abidjan, and considers Canada one of her homes. So I'm going to read from about the middle of the story. My mom says she knew I was a girl from the moment I was in her womb. She had given birth previously to two boys and two girls, and so she knew how children of different genders acted in the womb. So she was surprised when she gave birth to me and I had male genitals. From the age of 2 or 3, I knew I was a girl. I wanted to be with people who had the same energy that I did, who felt like I did, and those people were girls. It wasn't until I was around 9 years old that I started to feel attracted to boys. That was a moment of shock for me. Why would I be attracted to the same group of people that were rejecting me? Part of what I find really interesting about being trans is how it allows you to connect with different people while you are on the different phases of your journey. I think of transitioning as taking a step towards the different people you love. Before the transition, the gap can seem too wide, but afterwards, it's a shorter path to travel for the people we love. There was one time I met a man on a dating app. By then, I was living fully as a trans woman. I was taking hormones and my breasts had developed. He knew I was trans and he had previously told me that he loved trans women. When he came over to my apartment, I thought he looked familiar, but couldn't quite please him. We had a good time and ended up having sex about 3 or 4 times. One day when he came over, he said to me, "I knew a guy at university who was also from Rwanda. He used to be in love with me. The two of you really look alike. It seems like you all look alike in your country." That's when the memories came rushing back. I was the same person he was referring to. At university, I had been in love with him and I had opened up to him. At the time, I said to him, "I love men. I describe myself as a woman." And he had said, "No, you're not a woman. When I see you, I see a boy." Now, 10 years later, we had come full circle, and he was now in love with me as a woman.
Wow. That is gorgeous. I love that. If you have more questions for her, please *411*22#. No, that's the wrong one.
No, that's for the news.
That's for the news.
01984984 or the Fuse 984. I think we're a little starstruck.
I'm in my feelings.
It is the Fuse 984. Myself, Anwara, our co-host Nana, and of course you, Nadia Favory, as well.
I see. Actually, I'm okay with that. She's way cooler than me, so it's a step up.
Oh,
I'm
truly
grateful to be promoted.
Yeah.
No. And we are talking, of course, about the sex lives of African women. And one thing I definitely want to know is, will there be a sequel? Is there another book coming? What's coming up next?
There is another book coming. It's not going to be a sequel to this one, but the other book will still be about sex, so folks have that to look forward to. I even know what my third book is going to be, so there's
really
a lot more coming from me.
Can I take a guess? Is your third book about, wait for it, sex?
No, I feel like by my third book, I need to give you guys something different. So it'll be fiction. And of course, there'll be lots of sex in the fiction book.
Love to hear this.
What a great way to start the day, by the way. I'm going to manifest this for you, Nadia. Teaming up on your podcast would also be absolutely divine.
Absolutely. Let me put it out there. I'm coming as a guest, Nadia. 100%. Whether you want me or not, I'm coming.
It's going to be themed. So be ready for a costume and everything. So we had Wambui who tweeted this, and it's the most adorable thing. She said, say hi to Nana. She said, I met her on Friday at Moto Festivals. Tell her it's Grace. I don't know if she remembers me.
I remember you, Grace. Hey.
There we go. She says, I didn't imagine that she'd be with you girls, completely blown away. Ask her what her favorite genre of music is.
I love a genre called, in Ghana we call it alter, but it's basically like alternative Afropop. People like Amare, Ria Boss, Wolasi, Mensa, those kind of
folks. Cool kid. I know, right?
Okay, we're gonna take that cool kid feel down a notch and ask you, what is the most embarrassing song that you have on your playlist? For me right now, it's Atomic Kitten, Hole Again. Oh, do you remember that song?
I do. I think with me, people expect me to be like, oh, Earth Goddess, you know? And then I actually like quite explicit music.
Yes!
So Best/Blessed by Popcorn is one of my, embarrassing faves at the moment.
I love that. We can't play it, so, and if I could, I would sing to it, but nobody wants that. So we're going to let that one slide. Nana, thank you so much for being here. You've absolutely elated us and made our day, and continue spreading the word, truly.
Thank you so much. I've had so much fun being here with you guys. Thank you.
I do want to know real quick how we can find you on social media and what's coming up even in this week. If people want to come see you and get their book signed, and yes.
Absolutely. So I'm super excited. Kaz,
yes.
I'm sure you all know Kaz. She's putting on a stage production of my book this Thursday.
That I'm
Allianz
coming to.
Says. Yay, I'm looking forward to seeing you there. So people can buy the tickets. All the details are on the Spreadfest social media pages. Also on Wednesday, I'll be doing a reading at Sumanami, so folks can come to that. On social media, my personal handle is Nas, like the rapper, 009. And the handle for the book is Sex Lives Africa.
Okay. There you go. Also, I think it's just my time to leave since she's your new co-host. It's been fun, guys.
Thank you so much, Nadia.
See you later. Bye.